Lord, we are in a very difficult life, and in a church that is sinking in the West and growing in other parts of the world. Just teach us more today, for Christ's sake. Amen. And we turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you know the word brick? It's very simple, isn't it? It's Brazil and Russia and India and China. And those are the great world powers that are rising. Now, I want you to think something about it, which needs thinking about carefully. If you look at the Jewish people, not a word is being said, but they completely missed the whole of this trouble we live in, economic troubles over the last 2 or 3 years. And have simply groaned. And if you watch today, very little good is ever said about the Jews, but I believe that the Jews today are not only having so many things happening that are helping their industry, but they are rapidly growing. And often they're spoken of quietly as the fifth of this brick group, and that they're growing rapidly. There's a big growth going on in today in Israel. Now, I only take it that way because there is a great belief in the West that which we have the Jews in the Old Testament are really finished. I'm not going on to all the American words on this, but they're holding that the Church of the Jews are finished, and only the church in the world is going ahead. Now, this is very big, very large belief going through, and I don't want to go through too much of this, but the verse that looks upon this is this. It may not appear it looking, but it's true. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well now, who are the seed? Are they the Abraham? Are ye Abraham's seed? Or are they not the circumcised Abrahams, but those who by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, so that these belonging to Christ are the Jews, and the rest are finished. That is quite quietly stated and openly stated here. And it's an important matter. The only anywhere they say to be talk about Abraham's actual seed, you'll find is they put it like this. The natural descendant of Abraham are never called the seed of Abraham. They are always called the seed of Abraham by the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed. And that is clearly stated. You'll find that the verse, if you want to look at it, is Genesis 21 verse 12, and it says, In Sarah shall thy seed be called. And that is then taken up in Galatians chapter 3, and it's in verse 16. Look, now, Abraham and his seed were not promises made. He saith not unto seeds of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So it is held as very clearly definite that the seeds are no longer the seeds which were natural, but are those in Christ. So that seed points to Christ, and that is the end of it, which boils down to this, that there's no passage of scripture, say the people who speak this, does any Old Testament time speak about the seeds of Abraham physically. It only speaks of spiritually one. That is what they're saying. They say, look where you like. Now, you have it very clearly indeed that it's so, and I would grant that straight away. There's no doubt about it that the seeds belong to Christ through the seed. That we have no doubt. But you just remember this, that when you get a Bible and it's put like it is in the chapter 29 of Galatians 3, it's with nuances. It's very carefully put together. Nothing is just put there at. What is here that he's speaking about this? It's a very important point indeed. And it's perhaps the biggest point facing the Western church and also the whole church throughout the world. Is it that the Jews are finished and that we no longer have them here? It's most important. Well, now, the great point on this, the great time it takes it up, is Romans chapter 11, and it would be very wise, worthwhile to take those up. Romans 11, and we'll look at it from verse 1. If you turn with me, you'll find it written there. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, and of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith, Elias, how that he maketh intercession for God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left down alone, and they seek my life? But what saith the answer of the God unto them? I have reserved to myself 7,000 knee, who have not bowed the knee in the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to election of grace. And so it goes on. I cannot go through it all, we just haven't it there. But the apostle is saying, hath God cast away his people? And he is not contradicting himself. He's saying, I have not been contradicted that my people have been cast away. I say, no, certainly not. He means God has not gone back from his own purposes. It is unimaginable. It's quite impossible. God's purposes never change. You see, God saw the beginning to the end, and as he saw the beginning, he's seen right through to the end. And you remember in Malachi 3:6, we were saying today, for I am the Lord, ye change not, therefore ye are not consumed, the sons of Jacob. And that's exactly said about it, that God has not consumed the sons of Jacob. And that means the Israelites, because God never changes what? His work. His words. His words are what he's speaking about. And so what do we make to it all? Well, this. You look with back to Romans chapter 9. And you'll find it there in verses 6 to 8. It's very plain here. It says, not as though the word of God had taken non-effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither they are the seed of Abraham, they are all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, thy seed which are the children of the flesh. They are not the children of God, but are the children of the promise, accounted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also hath conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. And then he goes on to describe the election of God. It's according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. For he saith unto him, the elder shall serve the younger. So then, you can go right through this, and you'll find that what God is saying is that no one's been put out of Israel and got rid of, because God does it by his purposes, and his purposes always stand. Now, we must exact this in a very clear way, is that the Jewish people are now descended from God, put aside, and they're just a human generation. So the seed is not Abraham, but Christ. Because they are the seed of Abraham in Christ by faith. Well, what is its faith? The faith that says that he shall possess in Christ. You see, that's what he was coming to. Now, turn back to Romans 9. It's very important we look at this very carefully indeed. And we'll look at verse 7, and it says this, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Now, I know people say this is just saying the same thing again, but it's something different. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Well, now what are they saying here? Well, they're saying in verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. What's he saying then in them? Well, we're saying God's word has not taken effect. You see, look at verse 4, what he says about them, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh of Christ, who came over all, God blessed for ever. Amen. Now, what he's just said here is, this cannot be so. You cannot have it, son. It can't be in any way that this is true, because it said in Romans 11, as we said before, God forbid. Now, what does he mean by this? Well, it means, in no way is this put aside of the Jews. It cannot be because of the word of God. Now, will you turn with me to, it always comes up in the Gospels, Mark chapter 7 and verse 13. If you turn Mark chapter 7 and verse 13, you'll find what he's saying here. You see, he says, making the word of God of non-effect through your traditions which you've delivered, and many such like things ye do. Now, when he says make the word of God of non-effect, the actual word there is, has not fallen to the ground. Make your word of God has not fallen to the ground. Now, furthermore, if you look at this word, make the word of God of non-effect, it's a word which is present, including all the past and all the future. Now, the word of God cannot be changed, past, present, or future. And this is what God has said about the Jews, that the Jews which are of Abraham, past, present and future, cannot be taken out of it. That God hasn't changed it. God has no way turned against this. He's stated and his purpose and his decree cannot change. When he says to non-effect then, it means that this completely something will not be changed by God. Now, this then is God's argument about sovereignty. I'm not going into the argument about sovereignty. People just think we're deliberately wanting to get on to that again. I'm not. But that the Jews as a race cannot fall into the ground. That is what I'm saying. I'm saying very clearly, God has said the Jews as a race will not fall to the ground. Oh, we know that the Jews have suffered off any other people except the Christians. And we know that the Jews have, all the way through, have appeared to disappearing and yet always coming up again. That every time from Maccabees right through, every time right through to Joshua, right through the Judges, you'll find that the Jews have come through again and again under the Assyrians, under the Babylonians, under the Romans, under all that have ever been done to him, it's come back. I'm quite clear about it. God says his word will not change. But the Jews, Jesus, the actual descendant of the Jews, God has this a purpose. Now, this is a very, very important thing indeed we have against. Now, well, why is it difficult? Let me put you like this. Every time Jesus came to talk the gospel to people, immediately the Pharisees and the Jews and the scribes all started arguing. And every time we dike, save just this tiny little Church of England continuing, all we're arguing is that the gospel will remain complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we're arguing about. There's nothing else. We're not going on anything else. But you see, they're all arguing with it. They'll say, oh, well, you can't have churches that take kind of this. All the time. So every time we get on to get the gospel to people, they always argue. And that's very definite indeed. You look at Luke chapter 3, and you'll begin to see what it's saying about it. Luke 3. Now, this is what John the Baptist was speaking about the Jews. He knew their attitude of mind, And he says, I know the children of Israel, Abraham's, but... And then he turns to chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy to repentance, and bring not to save within yourselves. We have Abraham our father, for I say unto you that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto his, unto Abraham. Now what he's doing there is, I am argue with the attitude of mind that because they're a child of Abraham, I automatically get to heaven. And I've met preachers that myself, Jews, who say, oh, they said it to me quite clearly. They said, well, if they're a Jew, they get to heaven. I remember one said to me, I said to him, well, what do you say about the wickedest men who started off in Russia and started all the whole terrible things that happened in 1917? And do you know what they said? I said, they'll all go to heaven because they're all Jews. And I've been back to Rabbi and he told us that's what it said. Now, that is what Jews have a mental attitude to, and that is what we're fighting against. We are not fighting whether they're God's people, but they have this mental attitude, it was in this, here, in this building, and everywhere, that we are children of Abraham, therefore we'll go to heaven. And that, he's again, now the Lord Jesus took this up, and he looked at John chapter 8, and verse 30, and you'll find Jesus take this person in. He said, John chapter 8, verse 30. And he spake these words, and many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you face. For he then answered him, we be Abraham's seed. You see, that's their attitude. And we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou we shall be made freed? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, and this is what Jesus brings it in, is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. But I know that ye are Abraham's seed. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would be the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. And this did not Abraham. So it goes on, but you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ, through verse 37 of John chapter 8, is very important to take. Well, what he says? He says it again. I know that ye are the Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in it. You see, what they're saying, arguing, is this. We are not arguing over the Jews. We're arguing over God's word can never change. Now, that is what Paul is arguing. And that is what the Lord Jesus behind her is saying the same thing. That he always is one and straight line, never moves a little bit. So then, if you turn to Galatians, back to it, and you'll soon find in Galatians chapter 3, and there it is in verse 29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now, what is absolutely vital here is Christ put himself as sin, the problem the Abraham's seed had. Not because they were Abraham's, full stop, but they were sinful. And if they are according to Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, they're Christ's seed. That's what he said. It's absolutely vital to realize that sin is the trouble, not that they've all been thrown out of being children of Abraham. There is then Galatian ends in chapter 6, and it's verse 14. This is what Paul ends up all his arguments. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. What he's saying there is the offence of the cross, Christ, is what we follow faithfully. But that does nothing way hold against the law, the Jews being said by God always that he would remain as his seed in that sense. Now, having seen that, let us get hold then of what is before us. Do you see what it says here? And if ye be Christ's. Now, if you were to take that into its original, it's saying in the masculine, if he is Christ, if you are Christ's. And he's talking about one simple person, Christ. He's saying Christ were Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise, but that in no way puts aside what had been said in those words against the promise that God had given his seed to the Jews, and they still have their seed. It's not changed. It's not changed wherever they've tried to change it. Look how the Jews, the Germans have tried to change them, and they failed completely. Even killed 6 million of them and failed completely. They cannot be changed. God's word is perfectly clear that the Jews will continue until God's purposes are finished in the matter. Now, I want to just take up a matter from this before we leave this, and that's this. You'll see it's talking here about God and Christ and of Abraham. Now, you and I are in a very difficult world because most people are lost. You watch people living on those boat races, getting across into Greece or into Italy, and you'll see that they're completely lost. Everything's going. They don't know where they're going, they don't know what country they're doing, and all over the world people are moving like this. We've got this terrible, terrible problem, there being no anchor, no one having a surety, no one knowing where they come from, where they're going to. You look at the black people they were taken as slaves. You'll find the same thing. So there's a rootlessness about it. There's without significance to life. Many people today are causing trouble because they believe that there's no significance. There's nothing to it. It's meaningless. We've come from nothing. We're going to nothing. Now, what this verse is saying quite differently, it says, 4,000 years ago, it's approximately that, if not slightly more, Abraham was there. And we are the promise of Abraham. We are, by seed, added to the children of seed of Abraham by their own generation, the Jews. So then, ye are Christ's. And we have an anchor. We have something which is utterly the rest of the world. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going to. But we know. We know exactly. And we have a huge, huge list back 4,000 years. We're absolutely clear about it. And it's in Christ. That's what we've held to and what we hold to through the days. And so it's not unimportant. It's not without security. It's not lost and without a home. We have a home and everything. Now, I want you to spend just a few moments over this, but turn over with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And see what I'm saying. And verse 11 on. Look, it's verse 12 is the important thing. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision, and that which is called the circumcision by the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So I take it not there. But do you see what they're saying here? They're saying Christ is in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. Look with it, 3:18 it says. Look at verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, by being rooted and grounded in love. And that's what I want you, rooted and grounded now, in everything that's bashing you. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, what I'm saying is this. The height of Christ is to God. And in that huge height of God and all its everything, we have rested in. We've got a firm foundation. We've got nothing rooting us. Nothing take us changeless. Whatever life changes in us, we've got God. He's the length. That's right up to God. And then he says the breadth. Well, what does he mean by breadth? You see, what he means by this is in Christ Jesus. That in Christ Jesus, all is ours. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth the knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we have God in height. We have Christ in its breadth. And now, I want you to know more about this, because it's very important that we're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what Galatians 3 And verse 18, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That we belong to Christ. It gets so strong that we have one person. Do you see when it says, I showed you that it's ye one Christ, a person? Well, what we mean is not a neuter, not somebody saying, well, this is a thing. You see, it's got to be put it clearly like this. We are part of Christ. We are attached. And all believers in the world are the same. So we have this. Now, what does he mean by length in this? Well, we join the whole of people of believers ever since in one long straight course of time, from the past right up to the future. So there I leave it with you, but I earnestly ask you to consider these things. They're very important. Amen.